exactly what you mean. And if you try to go to a private physician, as quick as you walk in the door, right over the reception area now, they all got a big sign. If you're coming for pain medication, go to a pain clinic. We do not write prescriptions for pain pills. And that's bad. I mean, it's really bad.
ZYB Friday, and where did you see this at? Like a family physician's office?
About everyone I go to. I was going to one over here in Mountain View, and my doctor, she ended up getting married, and a few months later she got pregnant, and she had to take time off, and I had to go find me another doctor, and I go in there, and there's the same sign up overhead. We do not write pain prescriptions. And even at the emergency room now, you won't get nothing for pain. I mean, you got to be in a car wreck or shot or something like that. You go in there with a broke car, naturally, but you just can't go. The other night when I had to go, they were people in there, honestly, laying in the floor, beating the floor, hollering and cussing and asking for pain pills. It was unbelievable. And I don't know how those nurses handle that. Being cussed out, spit on, trash cans thrown at them. I mean, it's the first time I've been in an emergency room, and I don't know when, without an ambulance taking me. But you wouldn't believe the people that's hooked on stuff that's in the emergency room. And this was on Tuesday night.
GM.
Take it. KCHZYB.
Yeah. So, the very last time that I was in the emergency room, I was actually eligible to get pain medication, but I can't stand pain medication because it does make me loopy and all that kind of stuff. That involved a motorcycle crash, T-boned an SUV at 45 miles an hour, and it pulled out in front of me. Luckily, I didn't get any broken bones or anything, but they transported me and all that, and I refused to get a prescription for pain meds. I told them I'd be fine. But boy, oh boy, the next day I regretted that. Yeah. I didn't go get any pain medication or anything, but man, I hurt so bad the next day, it wasn't even funny. I didn't go into work that day. I went into work the day after that, but it was absolutely horrible. And then the third day, my boss didn't let me come to work again because of how I felt the second day. That was some of the worst pain I felt in a very, very, very long time.
So I can understand, you know, you not wanting to take that stuff. And really, unless you have some kind of major condition, you don't want to, trust me. But the bad thing is, like what Walt was saying, you know, actually witnessing that craziness, that's why the system is so screwed up anymore, because of that right there. You know, and when you have a legitimate reason to be treated with that, you know, you're getting treated like these people that are laying on the ER floor or throwing a tantrum. You know, and it's just bad news. I mean, you know, the DEA and Food and Drug Administration, government, whatever, they've got these doctors running scared, and half the time they don't want to treat anybody anymore because they're afraid of any kind of backlash that might come back on them. Go ahead there, Walt. KCHZYB.
K4OIM. I can honestly thank God that when I broke my neck laying out there, I was paralyzed. I didn't feel nothing. The only pain I have felt to the whole ordeal was in the emergency room. No, yeah, I was in the, what is it, intensive care. And I had to wait 3 months after I broke my neck for the surgery because I had so much swelling to see, they couldn't see how much damage I'd done. But through the whole ordeal, the only pain I felt was when I come to in ICU. I was dreaming I was in a Western and somebody was trying to tie me up. And when I come to, I pull 4 IVs out of my arm. I pull the needle they had right next to my artery in my right arm for a blood transfusion. I pull all of that out. I was getting up. I was getting out. I was fighting. And when the nurses come running in there and caught me, they wasn't very careful putting all them IVs in. They had put them in while I was out. This time I wasn't out. I did not pull another IV out. That is JFK4OIM.
OIM, KCHCYB, yeah. Well, you know, the I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but the doctor that that actually did the surgery for this pump that I was telling you about, himself and his staff were so incompetent treating me that within my first month or two of being under their care, they ran me completely out of the medication that was in this pump, completely. And they about killed me. It about killed me. I was laying up in the hospital in ICU for 3 days with a heart rate below 29 beats per minute. I mean, it was almost all over for me. And, you know, this guy was just a waste of human oxygen. This doctor I'm talking about, they tried to contact him for 18 hours when I was laying up in the hospital. Guy wouldn't answer his phone calls. The nurses tried to get a hold of him. Doctors tried to get a hold of him for 18 hours. In the meantime, they can't do anything for me, right? I mean, except try medications that were making the situation that much worse. And, I mean, I'd never felt so much pain and agony in my life going through that. I mean, my system was in 100% withdrawal, and I was on my deathbed. And get this, okay, keep in mind, you know, when I go in to have this thing filled up, it's all by remote. They have, like, a little handheld remote, and they hold it right against my abdomen where that pump is, and it reads the data, tells you how many days is left and all that. So they mark this down in their computers, you know, so we can keep track of how much time I have left before the next refill. Well, somebody screwed up and didn't write the right numbers down, and they ran me out. Okay, so like I said, I'm in the hospital for 18 hours before they finally get a hold of this guy. When they finally get me back into ICU, let me let this drop. Finally get me back into ICU, which I don't remember going back into ICU at all. I just remember waking up and that waste of human oxygen walks in the door. And this is what he said, like he did me a favor or something. He walked in the room and he's like, you know, I'm the one that did this for you. The hospital wouldn't have done it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you should have. You're the one that put me in this situation. Nobody else did.
The night before my surgery, no, it was after that. It was my last appointment to see my neurosurgeon. And nobody was at home. and I got to feeling funny on my left side. And I said, oh no, I'm not having another stroke. I called 911 and EMS come out and got me. Took me to the hospital. They done an MRI on me. And I'd had a mild stroke. And they said, doctor come in and said, that ain't the thing to worry about, Mr. Bradshaw. I said, what is? He said, whoever put them plates in your neck, some of the screws are coming loose. When do you see your neurosurgeon again? And I told him tomorrow. He said, be sure and tell him about this. And this was my last appointment with him. And he said, naturally, they put me in that room and do the x-rays. And I go into the room and nurse come in there, check my vitals and all. Finally, the neurosurgeon come in and he said, everything's looking great. I said, well, I had to go to the emergency room last night because I had another mild stroke. And they done an MRI on me, and they said some of those screws are coming loose back there in them plates. I'm not about to let them go back in there because even he told me when they had me open up, I started having multiple mini strokes, and they had to hurry up and close me up. Or when I told him about what the emergency room doctor said, boy, he got all teed off. Who are you gonna believe? Me? I've been to school for years to study this. And you gonna believe some intern in the emergency room? As far as I'm concerned, I'm through with you. And he said, go up to the front desk. And I said, what about my pain medicine? They ain't no more. I told you, I'm through with you. And he cut me loose that quick.
Oh, wow, wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I had similar situations with this doctor on the island. It's just bad. Bad news. I mean, almost identical situation. I'm not going to go into all that, but yeah, I feel you on that, and it's not right, man. It's wrong. You know, it's not right at all. Daniel, are you still out there, man? I've been, like, sitting here rambling on, and kind of forgot about you in the background, but are you still out there? KCGYB.
I'm probably going to get off of here soon anyways. I'm just listening right now. I have figured out that I am definitely a whole lot younger than both of y'all, and I'm pretty much dreading if I ever have to face that kind of situation. But the way the world is now, I can just imagine it'll probably be that and even worse when I get to be your age. I don't even want to be old now. To be honest, looking at the world, it's pretty scary. I'm sorry to hear everything y'all have been through. To go back to, I had an issue with my radio and then had to make a phone call and everything, but to go back to what you had been saying a long time back, since I closed the net out, you said that I'd sound like a veteran at calling the net and all this stuff. I've been calling it for probably about a couple of years now, 1 year pretty regularly, about 5 or 6 times a month, and the other year was just once a month, the first Sunday of every month, and I didn't even call all of those. I think I missed probably 4 of them, so I probably called it 8 times back in 2020, but I've called it a whole bunch this year. So that's about it. But I'm terribly sorry to hear everything that both of y'all have gone through. I know you're not just trying to have a pity party and everything, but good grief, I had no idea. So you pick up the mic and talk to these people, and neat, you know, get to meet Walt, getting to meet Jeff, but then you listen to all this stuff, and I had no idea y'all have been through all this. Good grief.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good situation to be in, for sure. But how old are you, Daniel? Good deal, man. Well, that's awesome. You enjoy the hobby like you do, and it's good that you are getting involved with the Nets like you are, and getting used to passing traffic and stuff like that. You know, you just never know when what you're learning now is actually going to need to come into play at some point. You know, with the way the world is that we're living in now, you know, what we do out here for fun could be serious at some point in the future. You just never know.
Yes, as I've got into it, I've done a lot of things in my life to set me up for when things go bad. The skills that I've gotten, I know how to drive a truck now. Been doing that for a year and a half, and I know how to build houses. I did 2.5 years of that. I did 3 years of welding, things like that. So I've tried to get myself a pretty decent background and stuff. And then 11 years in ham radio. I got into it when I was 16. So I'm constantly trying to learn things because I know at some point in my life, it won't be a, hey, this is cool, let me try this. It'll be a, I actually have this life skill and my life depends on it. I'm pretty sure things will head that way someday. And so for me, it's a matter of preparing myself for survival when things get bad, sadly.
Is that right, man? Yeah, I like to see when young people get involved. When I was on the island, there was a couple young kids. They were, man, in between 12 and 14 years old. And one of the kids actually sat down and passed all three in one sitting. His buddy just took the technician class and took a break. He said he was going to wait for a while before he got his general. And they ended up getting several more of their friends at their school involved. And if I remember correctly, I could be wrong, but I'm almost 100% positive that they actually had a radio room at the Hilton Head Island High School. I'm pretty sure I remember seeing signs and stuff for that when I used to ride up on the campus. But anyway, man, yeah. I think tonight's the... Actually, I have heard you run the net in the past, but I wasn't really listening to it real clearly like I was tonight. And, yeah, you did an outstanding job, my friend. You know, I understand you. I didn't realize you'd been in it for 2 years already, but, yeah, you definitely run it smooth. That's for sure. There's no doubt about it. But I'll go ahead and pass it on over to Walt. And I think you said you might be wrapping it up there, Daniel. If you are, buddy, I'll definitely catch you. Actually, Daniel, before you jump out, let me get your call sign. Give me just a second. And give me your call sign, buddy. I want to get you down here in the logbook.
It's Kilo Juliet 4 Whiskey Zulu Mike. KJ4WZM. And my name is Daniel. I get frequently mixed up with my best friend Nathan, who lives right next door to me, literally 50 feet from me. He's KJ4RQZ Nathan. But I'm almost impossible to keep straight on the radio between me and him. We sound very similar. We're almost the exact same size. We swap clothes sometimes. Like, I like to steal stuff out of his closet, especially when I stay with him. And we have the exact same interests as far as what we like to do in our free time, especially vehicles and off-roading and things like that. So me and him get mixed up very frequently. He calls the net once a month. I call it like 5 or 6 times a month now.
Be honest, Daniel. So you guys live like right beside each other in your neighborhood there. Now, be honest. How often do you guys, like, kick back at night, late night like this, kick back in your bed and actually talk simplex, handheld to handheld?
Half time, but he's now engaged and has a fiance, and he has a kid now, and she would go crazy on him if he did that. I wish I could do that all the time. But she'd go nuts on him if I did that. We used to stay in the same house. I lived in his house. I rented from his dad. His dad owned a bunch of properties all together in a row. But I used to live in the same house with him for like, I don't know, 5 years or so, 4 or 5 years. And it was pretty cool. Most of the time we got along, but every now and then we'd be getting a yelling match over something that one of us did that made the other mad. It was pretty funny. It was usually my fault, to be honest. I'm the crazy one.
Hey, that happens with anyone. You know, just like me, I'm living with my younger brother here in Greenville. You know, I moved in with him from the island. And, yeah, we got into a little argument match last week. But, you know, you get over it real quick. But I better pass this on over to Walt, or he's going to start staring at the back of his eyelids on us out here. Walt, you still out there? K4OIM, KCACYB.
K3CYB, yeah, I'm still here. And before I forget it, I know how the repeaters are on Hilton Head. Before I retired, I was a heavy equipment operator. And I went down there for 4 months to grade out for a motel. It wasn't Hilton Head. Almighty, I can't think of the name of it. But I spent 4 months down there, and I took my 2-meter handheld with me and a base station. Repeaters down there, there's a bunch of them, but nobody uses them.
It's absolutely ridiculous, man, because now I'm sure, you know, they might get free space at the hospital. You know, I know, I'm pretty sure they've got a repeater at the hospital, but majority of those things are in prime locations on that island, and it can't be cheap for these spots. I mean, it's definitely not cheap maintaining them, and it just didn't make any sense to me. Now, this radio I was telling you about tonight, I kind of explained how you can actually create a network channel within the application and then bind that channel to a repeater and give your friends access through the application to that repeater, no matter where they're at on the planet, right? Well, there was a guy in the club that lived directly behind me on the island, and I walked past his house every single day. Well, days after I got this radio, I stopped at his house. He was out doing some yard work. I stopped over there, and I was starting to explain to him what you could do with this radio. And before he even gave me a chance to finish, he's like, "We don't want anything linked to the repeater. No echo link, no nothing, no bridges, no links, no nothing." He's like, "I realize they're completely dead, but we don't want anything linked to them." Now, what kind of sense does that make? Seriously.
Construction worker, and you go into a store or anything, I done some time up in Rhode Island when I was in the Navy, and the people up there, they all had money, and they just didn't want to talk to you. I don't know, it's crazy, Jeff. It's one thing I like about living here. I travel everywhere. In the Navy, I swear to God, I spent 4 years in. The only time I was on a ship, I was down here in Charleston for 3 months, and I went on the USS Beetlebush just to go in there and taste their food. But I was a heavy equipment. I wasn't in regular Navy. I was in with the CVs. And I I went to Alaska, I went to Hawaii, and everywhere I went, they flew us. But up north, Rhode Island, if you go down the street and you say hello to somebody, they turn around and look at you like you're gonna rob them or something. They do not. They are not friendly people.
No, no, they really aren't. They really aren't at all. And you know, for the time that I spent out there, I mean, I like the atmosphere of being on the beach and stuff, but these guys held what they called two meetings a week, right, on Saturday and Sunday morning. The only time that the main two-meter would get used, the president of the club would jump on the radio around 8:30 in the morning to see who wanted to go to breakfast or lunch. Like, I think Saturday they had breakfast, Sunday they'd go to lunch. And that's the only time that ever the thing was ever used, on Saturday and Sunday, just for a few minutes to get a check-in on who wanted to meet for lunch or breakfast. And this was their meeting. Now, I went to three of them, and that was it over 8 years. I went to three meetings, and that was it. Not one time did they ever talk about anything that had to do with the hobby, ever. It was more a social club for those guys. I don't understand why it was actually considered amateur radio meetings. They didn't have any club that you could actually go into, which, I mean, I'm sure other towns are like that too. Maybe, I don't really know. I know when I was in Columbus, Ohio, we actually had clubs to go to, but the island didn't. They just met at restaurants, different restaurants, every Saturday and Sunday. And like I said, there wasn't ever any talk of radio stuff at all at any of these things. So I just stopped going. You know, I had no interest in just going there for, you know, to be part of their social club. If I want to go have breakfast and lunch, I'll go have breakfast and lunch, you know. Daniel, are you out of there? Are you staring at the back of your eyelids yet?
The reason I'm still here is I don't technically have to be at work until like 6:30-ish tomorrow morning. So I'm actually staying in here. Normally I have to be at work at 4. So I had another 2.5 hours so I could basically play around. I'll be ducking out here probably real close to 12. So I've probably got another 10 minutes left on here. KJ4WZM. Let's see. But yeah. Now, when I was driving over the road, I can pretty much tell you that the friendliness, when you hit at the eastern seaboard, pretty much all the coastline from Georgia all the way up the coastline, nobody's friendly. As far as inland goes, friendliness, the last friendly state is Pennsylvania, and only certain sections of that state. The western portion of the state is pretty friendly. From the central to the west, they're really friendly. Southwestern Pennsylvania, the people there are very, very, very similar to here. They're super friendly, and most of them are pretty outgoing. They're just slightly less friendly on the friendly scale than here. But then once you head north of Pennsylvania, absolutely nobody's friendly. And God forbid you hedge to the coastline. Just think about New Jersey, New York, and all the little states right along the coast there. Good grief. You don't even want to look at somebody. They'll be offended.
Yeah. And, you know, like Walt was saying, that's basically the way it is on that island. You know, you have a different breed of people on that island for the most part. You know, I mean, the neighborhood I lived in, and, you know, I don't have money like that by far, not even close. You know, I just got lucky, extremely lucky, the place that I was renting there. Walt, you're going to fall out of your chair when I tell you what I was paying on Hilton Head Island. But, you know, for the most part, even a one bedroom on that island is over $1,000 a month. Especially, well, it really doesn't make a difference where you're at on the island, because it's so small that it didn't take you long to get to the water. But I was only like 90 yards from the beach, and I was just renting a studio in an old beach house about 90 yards from the water. And I found this place on Craigslist, and initially I thought it was a typo. I thought it was a mistake because it was so cheap. But I was renting this studio. It wasn't furnished. I had to furnish it. $495 a month, all-inclusive, plus cable and Wi-Fi. Under $500 a month to live on Hilton Head Island in a beach house studio on the top level. What do you think about that, Walt? That's why I stayed there for 8 years, because it was so cheap right on the water.
No. Back in 91, when I was married, and my wife got on cocaine, and I told her, I said, I got good insurance, you can go to rehab and all. No, I can handle this. I said, you got 30 days, no more cocaine. And I was coming off of work, and I had this black guy blowing his horn. He pulled me over. I knew him because I worked with him. Well, I was on third shift, and he was on the first, but I knew him. And he said, you owe me $300. I said, for what? What Charlotte got? I said, what she got ain't nothing to do with me. He said, you go give me $300 one way or another. I said, I'll tell you what, Dick. You just trade it out with her. And I pulled out of the parking lot where he had pulled me over. I went home. I had a 78 Trans Am Bandit Special. I went out there, took the T-tops out. I packed all the clothes I could get in it, and I cut out. I went to Sarasota, Florida, Brighton, Florida. Let me let the repeater drop. Everything I could get in there. And I had a brother that lived down there in Bradenton. I went down there and stayed with him about a week or two and partied till my money run out. And I had to go to work for this guy. I had CDL license, and I went to this guy doing tree work. I drove the chipper truck. And my brother had told him that I was a pretty good carpenter. And he come out there and got me one day off the job. And I thought he was taking me to the next job. He took me out there to this gated community, and this guy had three bars, all up strip bars, and I was living in a room up above the bar, and as long as you worked for him, you could go down and get anything you wanted. I mean, they cooked good meals. All the crews come back there at lunchtime to eat. And they'd write it down on the book. You didn't have to pay. But at the end of the week, when you came in to get your paycheck, they would take whatever you got out of your paycheck. But anyway, he took me out there to this trailer. It was in a gated community right behind the Pittsburgh Pirates training camp. And he had a trailer out there that he had three prostitutes working out of. And the neighbors got a petition up, and he had to get them out. Well, he sent these two guys out there that stayed high on crack to clean the place up. Well, they cleaned it and left the windows open. And you know how it is in Florida. Well, I don't know if you do or not, but every day at 2 o'clock, it rains. But it messed the paneling up and the carpet. And he asked me if I'd come out there on Saturday and Sunday and work and replace some of the paneling and the flooring, and he'd pay me cash money. I agreed with him. I went out there, and man, I I worked my butt off, and well, you've done a good job. Then he wanted to extend the bathroom and all of that, so I got paid extra for doing that. And one day he come out there on the job and got me. I mean, I was through with it, ready to get paid. And I asked him, I said, John, what are you going to do with that trailer out there? He said, that's your trailer. I said, what do you mean? He said, you paying $100 a week to live in one of my rooms up there. Why can't you pay $100 a week for that camper? And, I mean, that's year-round. And that camper, I mean, that trailer, it was a two-bedroom. That thing was rented easily for $1,000 a week out there. I had banana trees, lemon trees, orange trees, and there were four ham radio operators in there. Everything furnished, like you said, cable TV, it had gas heat, gas, water heater, power, everything furnished for $100 a week.
Wow, wow. Yeah, you can't beat that. You can't beat that at all. Yeah, that's even better than the deal I had. $100 cheaper, actually.
A lagoon that came in a dock out there, and I went and bought me one of them little miniature Miss Budweiser hydroplane kits. I built that thing and put a 9-horsepower motor on it. I ain't kidding you. A 9-horsepower. And I could shoot out of the lagoon up into Terracea Bay in about 8 minutes. I mean, you couldn't put nobody in there with me, but it was one hell of a ride.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
The ball down there. And my daughter came down, some friends of hers brought her, they were going down to, Miami. So they dropped her and my little one-year-old granddaughter, they gave her a ride down to spend a week with me. And the day that she was supposed to leave, they called her and told her their grandparents were moving back up here and they were going to bring them back up and they wouldn't room for her. So I went and told my boss man I need to take 3 days off to take my granddaughter back up in South Carolina. And I went out there and I put in about 3 or 4 changes of clothes and all, and came back up to Greenville, and we had one heck of a snowstorm. And I mean, I left everything, and she talked me into moving back, and I ain't left.
Yeah, no doubt. What in the world? Yeah, and I know what you mean about Florida in the rain every single day at the same time in the afternoon. My younger brother, the one I'm staying with here, he's lived all through Florida. And it's crazy how that happens. I mean, every day like clockwork, man. You know, it's going to rain for a while, stop. And rain for a while, stop, and get so humid you can't stand being out there 2 minutes. Daniel, you still with us, or you in dreamland? KCZYB.
Here. I'm getting ready to get off of here, though. I'll still be here, but I'm going to probably fall asleep listening to the radio. I miss this a lot. This is how the 610 and Peter used to be. Someone used to always be on here 24/7, 365. Whenever they were done talking, there was another set of people that used to get on here. And it ain't been like this in a long time, and I'm really thankful it's starting to get this way again. A long time ago, we used to have 80 or more check-ins a night. 80 was pretty much how many we always got. 82, 83, 84, somewhere around there. But people stayed on this repeater. I'd love to see it happen again, and I'm just glad to hear people back on it, because it had been quiet for a long time, but people starting to come back on it again, and I'm happy about that. But that snowstorm, what year was that? I'm just curious.
About 93. I believe it was. It had to be about 93, because my ex-wife and I split up in 91, and I spent about a year and a half down there, so it had to be about 93, Daniel. You were probably in diapers then.
I wasn't born yet. I was born in June of 94. 93 was the last big snowstorm this area has really seen. The whole area got 1 to 2 feet of snow, depending on where you were at in the upstate up here. Throughout North Carolina, got slammed by 100-mile-an-hour winds, and pretty much all western North Carolina saw 2 or more feet of snow, capping off at about 5 feet in on the North Carolina-Tennessee border. That was one heck of a snowstorm when it came through back in 93. It was March of 93. It came through with a lot of high winds, thunder, and lightning. But we haven't seen the likes of that since. That used to happen back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 93 was the last one. We're overdue for it to come back again, though. So someday all that stuff will happen again, and it'll make a real mess of things now.
Worse than that, when I was working down there on Highway 92 down there at Greenwood, it hadn't been that long ago. It wasn't that much snow. It was all ice. It had the power out just about all the way across the state. I was working down there at Greenwood, but I was living in Mountville. But all the traffic lights and everything was out, but it was all ice. But that's why now, order announced it when I check in. I'm portable. I'm totally, totally solar powered down here now. But the ice storm, to me, was worse than the storm of 93 we had. K4 OIM for ID. I think it goes back to K3 ZYB. Go ahead, Jeff.
Walt, I just checked your QRZ to make sure you had an email address there. And you can get a hold of me on QRZ as well. If you can't catch me out here, I've got an email address on there. If you do pick up one of those radios, when you get it, just get a hold of me either out here or shoot me an email, and I'll walk through it step by step on the initial setup. I mean, it's not hard, but there are some things you have to set up outside of just typing in the frequencies and stuff to get in the PL tones to get it programmed. Nothing hard at all. Once you do it once, you know, you'll have it. But we'll go through all that. And like I said, I'm going to try to figure out in the meantime how we can get this SSTV stuff fired up so we can start using that stuff out in Hendersonville. Because I really started getting involved with that a month or so ago. I think the guy's name might have been Steve or Steven or something, maybe, that told me about the event that the ISS was doing there a month or so ago when they were transmitting images. And ever since then, I've been getting into it pretty heavy. I don't know if you've heard of a platform that we can use called Peanut, but an amateur radio operator developed it, and there's a lot of stuff. You can actually install it on an Android device or a PC, and a lot of the rooms you go into are actually connected to live reflectors, live talk groups. Some of them are just virtual rooms where you can talk to operators, but they actually have a PSK/SSTV room there where you can actually transmit images back and forth using MMSSTV software that you install on your PC, and I've been using that a lot too, just over the last couple of weeks. But I will try to find out more about this stuff for this radio, how we can start using it within the app that controls the thing, because I haven't figured it out yet. It is there, I just haven't figured it out yet. But I'm going to have to jump, guys. It's 12, and I've got to be up at 3:30 to run my brother easily in the morning. So, man, it's been an enjoyable night for sure. A lot of information and an awesome cue. So I enjoyed talking to you guys and a couple other guys that that jumped in there tonight. Sorry about that. But yeah, guys, I am going to have to jump. I know Daniel's about to start staring at the back of his eyelids here soon. Walt, it's been enjoyable. Daniel, it's been enjoyable. Like I said, Walt, we will get in touch. Do you think you're actually going to get one of those, or are you going to wait till after Shelby's here and gone?
I'll go in there and jump in there and get one. Because I were going to get me a I've saved my money to get me an amplifier, but after all this medical stuff, I'm just going to say the heck with that. And I want to get me a QRP station, but that radio you talking on sounds so good. Yeah, I'm going to get one.
I've got it cranked down on low power now. For the first little bit we were talking, I forgot to drop it down to low power. I'm going to make a suggestion. They do sell them at R&L, okay, and a couple of my buddies have purchased them there. But for whatever reason, it's been taking a long time to get stuff shipped from them. Now, I don't know if it was back order issues or what, but one of my buddies in Lugoff ordered two of these, and he had to wait quite a while to get it. And then another friend of mine ordered one of those Nano VNA SWR antenna analyzers, and I think it took him 2 months. I don't want you to have to wait that long. Not just let me let this drop. But that's going to happen. But I'd hate for you to order the thing from there and have to wait forever. I know there are other places out there selling them. If you want, I can do a little digging around tomorrow before, because you said you have to wait till Tuesday anyway, right?
If you ever want to talk, I get up about 9 o'clock in the morning, come down here and turn both radios on and put on a pot of coffee. Yeah, I never cut either one of them off. And I'm glad people are sticking around after the net. And by the way, I'm the net control on Tuesday night. And last week we had thunderstorms up here. And it was getting bad, and I didn't want to be on, and I didn't know how to get in touch with Dave, the net manager. I was wanting to cut the net short instead of going like A through D and then keep going through it to see if anybody else A through D. I was going to go through one time and shut it down. And next day, I talked to Dave on the radio. He said, "Walt, you're the net controller. You're in charge." So this Tuesday night, I'm going to announce, instead of rag you, because after the net, if we go into rag you, I have people, you technicians and new generals asking me questions that some of them I can't answer. So instead of going to write you, I'm going to open it up. If you want to stick around, I'll put a check mark by your name, just like I do for writing you. And I'll, after I close the formal portion of it down, I'm going to open it up for a round table and call off each station that stuck around for writing you. And we'll just have a round table conversation. So anybody can jump in anytime and talk and ask questions. I mean, it makes sense to me, Jeff.
Yeah, man, I'm up for it. Yeah, count me in. I'm always around here. You know, you guys might, you know, I just started recently checking in regularly just in the last 2 or 3 weeks. But it's always on. So, yeah. Count me in, man. I can hang out for sure.
I was calling the net, and no one stuck around for right you, and I went back and said recheck, and we got to talking about the work I'd done, and then Glenn came to, I can't remember his call sign. He's one of those Yankees that moved down from New York. He jumped in there, and then a few more jumped in and got to ask him questions about amateur radio and all. And these new guys are scared to get on. And I mean, in the regular net, but after you go into the right queue, they'll go checking in. And everybody thinks that the net control thinks that we're in a hurry to get off of here. We're not in no hurry. And like Daniel said, thanks for sticking around for the right queue part. I mean, you learn a lot from the new guys do, from us guys. And I'm just going to do it that way. I'm going to try it this week and see how it works, Jeff. That new, wait a minute, look, K3ZYB, K4OIM.
Sounds good to me. I'll hang out for it, sure. Man, there was something else I was going to tell you, too. Now I forgot. We can. I'll probably get one of my buddies to come and hang out too from the UK. You know, it's like super early for them, but this guy works overnight. He's like third shift. Well, he's working from home because of the COVID thing. Well, actually, he's going to be working home indefinitely. They had already had in the works to have him work out of his house anyway. So he's a good friend of mine over in the UK. He lives in Portsmouth in the UK. And he's actually signed into linked into the repeater here through Echolink. So I could probably get him out get him out here Tuesday night as well. He may not be able to talk a whole lot, but he'll be able to jump in there here and there while we're having the round table for sure.
It just crossed my mind. I've been calling the net since February. And before that, I was mic shy. I always worked CW. And then Miss Karen up here in Columbus, her radio died, and she called the net on Tuesday night. And, they've announced that was looking. They were always looking for net control operators, and I volunteered to do it. And I had to sit back and shadow people, and I had my logbook out, and I'd write the call sign down, and at the end of the net, I'd go back to the net control operator and give him my count and everything. And I was getting it dead on the spot. And then Dave said, are you ready to take over this Tuesday? Yep. And I come down here that Tuesday night, turned the radio. Well, the radio was on, but I come down here and sat down. I said, what in the heck have I got into? I've got to talk on the radio, on the microphone. And man, I was nervous that night. I think I had 32 check-ins. And now I'm running between 51 and 61. And I've enjoyed it. Got me talking on the radio, I guess you can tell that. And I'm like you, I got to get off here and get up there and get to bed too. Jeff, I'll be clear on your panel, but yeah, I'm going to order that radio Tuesday. And I'll be clear on your panel, K3ZYB, K4OIM.